ओम ज्ञानचिनिदन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 15. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. This morning we were discussing about mahatmas. Again, here in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, the word mahatma is used to describe great devotees. There are great devotees who are living in this world, but they are not aspiring to enjoy this world, because they know that there is no ending. This material world is described here as dukhalayam, the place of misery, and ashashvatam, everything here is temporary. So even if you think I'm very happy, you can't stay. Whatever the causes of your so-called material happiness may be, you cannot keep them. Therefore, who is a great soul, whose consciousness has expanded beyond this world of matter, he's not trying to enjoy this world of matter, he goes to Krishna. He goes to the place of the great souls. So a devotee lives in this world, but he's not of this world. In Gita, Krishna also gives the example, Padma Patra Nirvamasa. Just like the lotus leaf is in the water, grows in the water, it doesn't touch the water. Even if water falls on, it doesn't stay. Kavala Dabla Jala Jivanna Kalama. An example is given in another context. If water falls on the lotus leaf, it just falls off, it doesn't stay. So even if devotee appears to be materially affected, he's not actually material, it's just a temporary thing. But Krishna explains in Gita, again, apite sudara charo bhajate nama nanyabha sadhure vasamantavya samyaji vasatosya. If someone is a very serious devotee of Krishna, his goal of life is to love Krishna, but somehow by association with the material modes of nature, he becomes entangled in some wrong activity which you wouldn't expect of a devotee. He's still to be considered saintly because his intention is to serve Krishna. Then, shikram bhavati karamata. Very quickly, he again becomes properly established. So a devotee, because of bad habit in the past or whatever it may slip. But he's always protected from Krishna. His goal of life is different. Om tad vishno paramam padam sada parsham tisuri divina chakshurantikam. Devotees, they're living in this world, but they're always looking up to Vaikuntha, to the lotus feet of Krishna. So even though a devotee lives in this world of misery, he's always happy. This is a formula. How to be happy in a place of misery? This material world is a place of misery, but a devotee has a different vision. Vishvam purna sukhayate is one verse, 5. Prabodhananda Saraswati, great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that even though this material world is miserable, the devotee sees it as very joyful, very nice. How is that? Actually, this material world is miserable. It's not that it's by nature nice. It's a place of death, a place of suffering. It's a place of disappointment, because everyone's always hoping that his life will be very nice, but it's simply disappointment again and again. Everyone's hoping to achieve happiness. You don't achieve it, or even if you think you've achieved happiness, again you become disappointed because you lose everything that you have. So it's repeated disappointment. This material world, it's like a great ocean made up of tears, of suffering, disappointment. Everyone is always disappointed, always hoping for the best, but getting the worst. So this material world is a place of misery. If anyone is at all to become fully surrendered devotee of Krishna, then he has to understand this point, that this material world is not a place for my happiness. There's no happiness here. There's nothing to enjoy here. It doesn't matter whether you have the best passions or lots of money or Chevrolet or Cadillac car. It's not going to make you happy. Nothing. You can drink all the beer in the advertisements. It's not going to make you happy. Use the best toothpaste and get a smile with a ring of confidence. It doesn't make you happy. Whatever the advertisements may say, it's just a big bluff. There's no happiness in this material world. But there is happiness on a completely different level. That is the level of always remembering Krishna. In that way, devotees are always happy. They see the whole world as happy. Why? Because there's so much opportunity to serve Krishna. In this way they see it as happy. Not the illusory happiness that foolish materialistic people are chasing after. Or even the Mayavadis, they sometimes think that they have some very strange concocted philosophy. Actually, all of Mayavad, it's all very strange and concocted. This Mayavad means thinking that everything is all one. A very strange idea to think that everything is all the same. Doesn't tally even slightly with reality, with any observable reality. They say everything is all one, and varieties are simply imagined. So if it's all one, then why do you want to eat chapatis and rice? Just eat stew. It's all the same. Or why eat at all? If it's all one, then drink this poison. It's the same as water. At least we'll get rid of you talking all nonsense. So they have some strange idea that this material world, we are all actually God, they say. And we are simply in here. What are we doing in this material world? We're simply enjoying our leela. Of course, Krishna comes to this world and he enjoys his leela, but our position is not the same as Krishna's. Krishna is enjoying in transcendental bliss. And we are suffering, being beaten by Maya. And we say, this is my leela. And the jiva falls into the body of a pig and eats stool and this is enjoyable. And the Mayavadi will say, well, actually he's God and this is his leela. You see how offensive. See how very offensive they are. They say that God is a pig eating stool. How much they're offensive. So not in that way. How does a devotee see everything as happy? Because he sees everywhere there is Krishna. He sees Krishna in everything, everything in Krishna. This Prahlad Maharaj said, when Nrisimhadev came, he said to Nrisimhadev that actually it's part because Nrisimhadev was offering, what benediction do you want? So Prahlad said, I don't want any benediction. I didn't worship you to get some benediction. Krishna's famous name, Varada, Varada Raja, king of benediction. There are so many benediction givers. People go to government ministers, they're also Varada. Please give me, in India, it's a gas con, what is that? Gas
connection.
Gas license, what is it? Gas agency or something like this. And that's one kind of var, one kind of boon they are giving. So, or you go to the American embassy, please give me a visa. So that's also one, they're also one kind of varada if they give it. You can get a visa to go to Bhuswarga, namely America. Heaven on earth. You have to see the devas at the American embassy to get your pass. There are different demigods, they're all giving benedictions. We see mostly in Hindu homes, they have a picture of Saraswati. And they're thinking that Saraswati is going to bless our children so they can pass their examinations. But Saraswati has got nothing to do with all this nonsense they teach you at school.
She's not teaching all these things. It's more cultured level. And so many, they invented Santoshima. She's also an imaginary giver of benedictions. You know that? There was a Bombay movie. They invented one. Yeah, one Devi. Just imagine her. So she's become Titishkoti means 33 crores plus one. Not just one, there's so many new incarnations. So there are so many givers of benedictions, but Krishna is the best. Actually, whatever benedictions are given by different demigods, they're only given by Krishna's, only with Krishna's blessing. So Krishna is the best of givers of benedictions, and he was offering Prahlad, what do you want? He said, I didn't come to you for any blessing like this. But dear Lord Nrisimhadev, please help me pass my exams. He was a schoolboy after all, but he wasn't praying like that. He said, as far as I'm concerned, Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm completely satisfied. I don't want any material benefit. I'm quite happy because wherever I go, I simply remember you. Then where is the misery? Where is the unhappiness if I remember you? But I have one unhappiness, that all these fools and rascals in the material world are trying to be happy by enjoying it. So how to deliver them? So a devotee, he's perfectly satisfied, even in the midst of great miseries. A devotee always remembers Krishna. He's always happy. This is perfection of Krishna consciousness. We see that even devotees, they take upon themselves difficulties. Generally people, they go to God, please remove all my difficulties. But there are many devotees, they take upon themselves difficulties, just like we find so many Rajas. Bharat Maharaj, in the Bhagavatam we'll find so many. They left their comfortable position at home and went to the forest and accepted severe austerities just so that they could get free from the concept of enjoying this material world. So they could be completely free from all material contamination, so they could worship Krishna fully. See how much they understood what is the value of Krishna consciousness. Anyone who wants to achieve anything, they have to take some difficulty. If you want to pass your exams, you have to study hard. If you want to become a successful businessman, you have to work very hard. It's not just you do a little, make one or two phone calls here. You have to work hard for a long time to become successful in business. And of course, there's no guarantee even then you'll be successful. But anything worth achieving, a lot of effort has to go into it. So similarly, a devotee who wants to be fully Krishna conscious, he has to become completely free from material desires. So many great devotees in the past, they used to go to the jungle or the Himalayas, perform severe austerities, just so that they could be completely free from any trace of desire for material enjoyment. Why is that? When all the world, everyone is simply trying to become happy by material enjoyment, then why is it that the transcendentalists make so much endeavor to be free from any trace of desire for material enjoyment? You see the point? Everyone's working hard. Let us improve our facilities, get money, build a big bungalow, live happily, go on holiday here and there. Everyone's making so much endeavor to increase their material enjoyment. But the transcendentalist is making so much endeavor to get free from material enjoyment. Previously, like that, they would go to the forest or the jungle and they would perform severe austerities, just eating roots or only fruits that fall from the trees and not protecting themselves from the climatic changes, performing severe austerities. Why? Why should they do that? Why should they do that? Is it simply some kind of madness? In psychology, they have this idea of the masochist, someone who takes pleasure in giving pain to himself. For some kind of crazy people who they stick pins in their body and they deliberately give pain to their own body because somehow they find some kind of perverted pleasure in that. So our devotees like that, masochists, they're simply, or the transcendentalists, why should they accept so many austerities? What's the point? Point is because they know that by giving up material desires there's something much, much better to be achieved. That if you get free from material desires, then your pure desire for serving Krishna becomes manifest. Two things go on side by side. Actually, Krishna consciousness is in itself a positive process, especially the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the most merciful of incarnations. Parama Karuna Pahum Dvijana Nitai Gaura Chandra Shabhyavata Shara Shirovani Pevala Ananda Kanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Rajendra Nandan Jai Shachi Shuta Hailo Shai Balarama Hailo Nitai. Rajendra Nandan, Krishna, has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shachi Shuta, son of Shachidevi. And Balaram has become Nitai, Nityananda. So these two brothers, Gaur and Nitai, they are the most merciful incarnations because their path is simply joyful. They don't ask that you go to the forest and eat fruits and roots only. They say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And fruits and roots, yes, you can take Krishna prasadam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program when he was living in Puri, every night they would have kirtan for about 4 hours with so many people. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Who can imagine the ecstasy of chanting and dancing personally with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When he would dance, everyone would become wet in two ways, by sweating all their bodies and cloth. Another way, all the tears from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes were just like syringe flooding everybody. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, then everyone completely forgot that, what are my family problems? They even forgot their own body. What, you can imagine dancing for 4 hours, then your whole body will become so tough. But they didn't feel anything just because such ecstasy. So afterwards, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you couldn't then, difficult even to stop him. So Nityananda Prabhu would just, because he was so absorbed in the ecstasy of chanting, so Nityananda would, one by one, he would stop all the devotees. So gradually the kirtan became quiet. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, oh, I'm the only one chanting. What happened? And then say, oh, it's time to stop now. All right. So then after that, they would distribute prasadam to everybody. Jagannath Prasad, Jagannath Prasadanga, Chibhuvanna Koilo Dhanna, Chipurari Nache Jahapai. One song that this Jagannath Prasad has made the whole world fortunate, and even Lord Shiva becomes very happy and dances if he can get the fortune to get that. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. He doesn't ask that you do anything very difficult. Positive process. That if you chant Hare Krishna and take Krishna Prasad, then the force of this, the joyful process, is enough to, in itself, then give up material desires. What is there? What is there in comparison? Materialistic people, they think these devotees are crazy, you see? They have one day off a week and they could be enjoying themselves doing something, you know, like sleeping, you know, watching TV, or, you know, really, really enjoyable, the good things of life. You can lie in an air-conditioned room all day and sleep. See, this is the purpose of life, right? Or you can watch TV, there's so many videos, and you can drive to the beach, and go to a restaurant and eat some smelly dead bodies, and enjoy yourself. You can really enjoy yourself. Instead, these devotees, what do? They simply, you know, singing and dancing. Well, you know, it's like What? They don't understand. They're so unfortunate. The devotee is enjoying life on the spiritual platform. So a devotee, he automatically becomes detached from all those things. If you're, that Krishna says in Gita, rasavajam sopyasya parandrishvaneva kate. If you get a higher, if you taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness, then why should you be interested in useless, so-called, what is the pleasure? What is the pleasure in material life? The advertisements will tell you that the pleasure is using Colgate toothpaste or something like that. You know, you wake up in the morning and, oh, it's time to brush my teeth again. Life is so wonderful. The advertisements, that's what they'd have you believe. Yeah. That these are the real pleasures of life. And then you eat some Kellogg's cornflakes, and then again, life is so wonderful. We're so fortunate. We have all these wonderful things. But actually, material life, it's completely stale and boring and dull and dead at the best. At the best, it's boring. And usually it's worse than that. It's just a source of total misery. So those who are intelligent, they think, well, why, what am I doing? You know, here I am, I worked to get a job, and I got a job, and they told me, just work like an ass for so many, they didn't say like that, but that's what I did, for so many years just to get a degree. And then now here I am working like an ass with a job, and you know, I'm supposed to be successful, but what does that mean? Now you see people in India, they've got a great job, 10,000 rupees a month. Yeah, but how do you get 10 free minutes a month? You have to work so hard. You have to work up till 8 o'clock in the morning, till 10 o'clock at night. And then your reward, you get 10,000. What are you going to do with the 10,000 rupees? You can build a nice home and then you sleep in it for a little time that you have. So what is the success? Where is the happiness? And people say, naturally, any intelligent person, if he has time to even think about it, he'll think, what is the use of this? What am I doing with my life? Actually, Prabhupada said that modern leaders, they will force you to work like hogs and dogs and asses. They'll simply make you work, 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 work. Then you don't have any time to think what is the purpose of life. And even if you have time, you're so exhausted. Or your brain is so frazzled that all you can do is turn on the TV and sit and watch it. Yeah. It completely destroys your... This whole civilization destroys our higher intelligence. Naturally, any thoughtful person, they will think, what is the purpose of life? How to achieve it? But in the modern society, we're just bombarded with so much work, and then there's TV and advertisements and so much pressure. Just to live like a sophisticated animal. Otherwise, naturally, any person will think, oh, what is life all about? What is it? So devotees who receive this gift of Krishna consciousness, they're very, very fortunate. Because naturally, you have the facility to chant and dance and hear about Krishna. And the quality, this quality of life is so much superior to anything in the material world. Anyone who experiences that, then they automatically become more advanced than even great yogis who go to the forest to control their senses because they're chanting the name of Krishna. That Devahuti, the mother of Kapila Devi, says, Sahobhadasya Pacha Togariya, Yad Jivage Vartate Nama Tubhyam. Tapas tapas te juhu sasmarayo, Brahma nucha nama grinanti yete. She says that how wonderful it is that anyone who is chanting your holy name, even if they're born in families of dog eaters, it's to be understood that anyone who's come to the position of chanting the names of Krishna, they've already surpassed great yogis and pious people who perform sacrifices and those who study the Vedas. They've already gone past all those levels, because the topmost level of spiritual realization, what is the topmost level? Simply to glorify Krishna. Satatam kirtayanto mam. To glorify Krishna. This is the activity of the greatest transcendentalists. The yogis, these Ashtanga yogis, they're performing severe austerities, but they're not glorifying Krishna. They can perform very severe austerities, sitting in the cold water in the winter, meditating, or in the hot sun of the summer. They're sitting and they build fires around themselves. So there's got heat from the sky and heat from all around them. And just eating some dried leaves that they pick up from the ground, severe austerities. So they can perform these very difficult austerities. But there's one thing which is very difficult, which they cannot do, and that's glorify Krishna. Why? Because they're thinking, I'm a great yogi. I'm controlling my senses. But they don't want to surrender to Krishna, because for all their artificially controlling their senses, they still have this false ego that I can, by myself, control my senses, and they don't want to surrender to Krishna. But a devotee doesn't have to perform all these severe austerities, because he's glorifying Krishna, which is already the perfectional stage which takes you past all performance of severe austerities. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we also have rules and regulations to restrict us from sense enjoyment, because it's not that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, just in 1 second, you become free from all material desires. Therefore, there are restrictions to restrict us from falling down into bad habits. Maya tests us. Maya tests to see. It's not that you're chanting Hare Krishna and then just immediately all the material desires go away. Maya is testing. She gives tests. And it's even all the way through. As we advance in Krishna consciousness, Maya tests more. It's not that the tests become less. They become more. Just like when the child goes to school, he has a test. 1 + 1 = what? And when he goes up further when he's in grade 10, then there's all complex calculus. So he's being tested according to his level. The test is there. So if you become more advanced, Maya will give more tests. It's not that they stop the test, or it's not that if you become more advanced, you still get 1 + 1 = 2 tests. There may be so many tests that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has analyzed, different kinds of tests, that Nishidacha, Kutinati, Jiver Hingsham, La Puja Pratishta Jato Upashakavan. There are different kinds of tests. In the beginning, or even at any stage, Maya may test by offering, why don't you perform some sinful activities, Nishidacha, Kutinati, some kind of diplomatic, political behavior, even among devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is analyzing. Jiver Hingshan, causing pain to others, unnecessarily being envious of others. Then Lab, that you after some time you may become famous as, oh, what a great devotee. And people start to give donations and think, hey, it's pretty good. I can make a big show of being a devotee. Pretty good business. Don't have to work hard, just go here and there. People wash your feet, and it's a great way to maintain your family. Puja, people will worship me. Pratishta, people will glorify me. You become attached to these things, then you become caught up in Maya. So Maya gives death. First day devotee, someone who's first taking up Krishna consciousness, then they may be tested on how much are you ready to give up your sinful activities? Are you ready to give up your tea and your coffee? So when you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, there may not be attraction for tea and coffee. There may be this La Puja Pratishta, that, oh, now it's time for you to be glorified. That's a great test, because everyone in this material world is imitating God. They want to be glorified. Kirtan is meant for Krishna. Everyone is meant to glorify Krishna, but we are imitating Krishna, so we like to say, let me be glorified. What sweet music, that I will be glorified. Let me hear my own glorification. So if a devotee, that will come naturally. Other devotees will like to glorify. The devotee is becoming more advanced. But if a devotee hears that and enjoys that, then that's material enjoyment at a more subtle level. And his advancement becomes halted, or at least impaired. So these are very dangerous things. So Maya gives tests. Maya can just knock us out any time. But she doesn't. The test is there not to destroy our devotional service, but just to see how sincere we are in devotional service. That do we really want to serve Krishna? Or do we want to give some trouble to Krishna? Are we still envious of Krishna? Then we can't go to the spiritual world. We go to the spiritual world and say, well, why is everyone glorifying Krishna? What about glorifying me? Then you don't belong there. And you don't go there. There are so many different tests that are given to the devotee. But if the devotee remains faithful to Krishna, faithful means simply thinking how to satisfy Krishna by his words, his activities, his thoughts, by everything he does, then Maya will say to Krishna, yes, I've tested him. He is a good candidate, sincere devotee. Take him. He doesn't belong here. I've got nothing to do with him here anymore. Can't do anything with him. You take him. So devotee, he becomes tested at different stages. Therefore, the rules and regulations are there to help us. Different rules to help us to live our life in a way that we won't be washed away by Maya. There are restrictions also, just like we said. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and then not associate with non-devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked, what is the characteristic of a devotee? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told one devotee, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you're a sannyasi, you're practicing Krishna consciousness, but we're grihasthas. So how can we advance in Krishna consciousness? What should we do? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should associate with and serve devotees. That will help you in your grihastha life. Then he said, well, how can we know who is a devotee? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashat Sangha Tyag E Vaishnavata Sri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the first characteristic of a devotee is that he gives up Asat Sangha. Asat Sangha, there are so many different levels. Asat Sangha doesn't mean only associating with materialistic people, but associating with materialistic ideas. That's why devotees, they like to satsang, they like to read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read books by a materialistic person, then you get their materialistic ideas. If you associate with materialistic people through the medium of watching TV programs, then you become infected by that. If you become you meet with a group of people and they're talking, how we can get ahead in our business and make more money. You become by association. Sangat sanjayate kama. By association our desires develop. So if we associate with devotees who are always thinking how to glorify Krishna, then we'll get a taste for that. And we'll also want to glorify Krishna. And if we associate with materialistic people who are interested in enjoying this material world, then we fall down. Sri Shangi Eka Shadu Krishna Bhakta. That means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one who is too much interested in associating with the opposite sex for the purpose of sense enjoyment. They are asat and Krishna bhakta, those who are not devotees of Krishna. Now you may find there are mayavadis or sadhus who they're aloof from gross material enjoyment, but they're not devotees of Krishna. So their association should also be given up. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given very nice instructions. So there are rules and regulations to help us to remain steady. Otherwise, what happens, we may be chanting and dancing, and that's very nice, but then if we don't follow the rules and regulations of devotional life, because Maya is very strong, she is ready to catch us at any moment. So therefore, devotees, they arrange their lives in such a way that they become more and more attracted to Krishna and less attracted to Maya. How is that? You may say, well, I have my material duties. I have to go to school, or I have to do my job. So many things. So that's a fact. You have to do these things. Therefore, process of sadhana is that even if we have so many different duties in this material world, we have to set time aside for sadhana, hearing and chanting about Krishna. We have to maximize this process that Bhakti Rao Thakur is singing. He says, Taka a apana kaja. So you stay in your position, but you remember Krishna. Often people ask us that, well, you're teaching about Krishna consciousness, but so they think, well, now what are you saying? We have to leave everything? No. Whatever position you're in, you stay in that position, but add Krishna consciousness to your life. Add Krishna consciousness to your life means very seriously. When we're asking people to come to this Krishna consciousness movement, actually in the beginning we may not say so many things, but we're looking to see how they are committed. Commitment to Krishna consciousness means those who take up Krishna consciousness, they're seriously. Seriously means to take initiation into Krishna consciousness, which means dedication. That now the purpose of my life is to understand Krishna. So we're asking you to spend at least 1.5 hours chanting the names of Krishna, japa, 16 rounds, to give up materialistic activities. Complete life, materialistic activities means you have your job and everything, but you're not going to waste time going to useless parties or watching TV, all nonsense things. Complete change of life. Even what you eat, you have to be very careful. You see, for a materialistic person, they just, oh, restaurants here, okay, let's drop in. Drive in, now they have. You don't even have to get out of your car. Drive in, eat something, add a few more million years to your stay in hell, and drive out. So life is, the modern society is very nicely organized for sense gratification. But the devotees, no. Like tongue is meant, everything, every cell of a devotee's body is meant for serving Krishna. So the tongue is also meant for serving Krishna. That comes first. Sevan mukhihi jivado. Serving Krishna begins with the tongue. So the devotee is very careful what he eats. People ask, are we vegetarian? Yes, but not just vegetarian. You have to eat food that is acceptable to Krishna. You have to offer to Krishna. And so Krishna doesn't eat, you know, sandwiches bought in a shop. Or Krishna eats luchichini, sharpuri, nandu, roshabali. That description is there. What he eats. Krishna likes to eat that which is given with love by his devotees. Radharani is cooking for him. Mother Yashoda is cooking for him. They don't bring out a packet of cornflakes. Krishna doesn't eat those things. Krishna likes to eat what is cooked by his devotees with love. Not some bread from the shop, and something out of the freezer, put in the microwave. What what are you offering with love to Krishna? Krishna wants to take. So, devotee is very careful. He only eats that which is acceptable to Krishna. So it means a big change in life. There may be so many difficulties. Well, it's so difficult. How can we eat only food offered to Krishna? So it means you have to take some difficulty to do that. And sometimes, if you're strict, sometimes you may not eat as you might like to, if you follow that vow. But Krishna will be very pleased if you make the little effort to do what is pleasing to Him. If you mold your life in that way, Krishna becomes very pleased. We are asking people to take a strong position. And people are doing it. We see all over the world. Just, 1960, less than 35 years ago, no one in India or outside India could have imagined that there would be devotees of Krishna following all these principles, studying these books, millions of Bhagavad Gita's distributed all over the world. No one could have imagined. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known by people in Bengal and Orissa and a few people in other parts of India, and that was about it. And no one thought he was going to go beyond that. When Prabhupada was going to preach in the West, so many people thought, what's the use? He's going to preach in America? Krishna it's ridiculous. It's for Hindu. Even the Hindus don't follow it. So only a few. So how do you... You see, even the Hindus, they're not following these principles. So how do you, what do you speak of the Americans? Who were brought up. Prabhupada said that, I thought when I went to America, I would ask them, please stop eating meat, drinking wine, having illicit sex, and gambling. And I thought, Prabhupada said, I thought they would tell me, Swamiji, thank you very much, please go back to India. You don't want to hear these things. But Prabhupada did, because he gave people something we got all these are the, for materialistic people, this is the perfection of life. Prabhupada told that one of his godbrothers, he went to England in the 1930s, and he met the Marquis of Zetland, who was formerly, I believe, the governor of Bengal. So that Marquis of Zetland asked that Goswami Maharaj, one of the Prabhupada's godbrothers, he said, can you make me a brahmana? He said, yes. Because he lived in India, he knew that from the brahmana's point of view, he was a lecher, even though he was a lord. Actually, lord means the biggest lecher. Really, most aristocracy in the Western countries means the most sinful. More meat eating, more illicit sex especially. They said, yes, I can make you a brahmana. How? You just follow these principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. He said, impossible. Without this, what's the purpose of life? It's the only thing there is to do in life. So that is the Western way of life. Now it's changed. Prabhupada has given people something better. People are thinking that this is the perfection of life. If I can increase my pleasure for the tongue in the form of eating dead bodies, if I can have more illicit sex, if I can have more intoxication, especially in those days. In America from mid-1960s when Prabhupada went, these free sex, drugs, this was the hippie era. Enjoy. And the last thing any of the hippies wanted to hear was any restrictions. Their whole idea was to reject whatever few restrictions their parents had put on them. Wild, to live freely and wild. Prabhupada gave them something better. That's how they were, Prabhupada's disciples were first preaching in America. Better than LSD. You don't know what LSD is, you're lucky. There's some intoxication which is supposed to be mind expanding. Some chemicals that are going to affect your brain. So there's some experience of LSD intoxication, which they call becoming high. There's some kind of artificial euphoria. So you become high, but then again you become low. In other words, the effect wears off. So Prabhupada's disciples are preaching, chant Hare Krishna, stay high forever. That's how they were preaching. And see what kind of people they're preaching among? Better. They were preaching. This was like some kind of sacrilege among the hippies. Some kind of blasphemy. Better than LSD. How can it be better? How can it be better than this intoxication? They were so much addicted. But Prabhupada, yes, this is something better. Chanting Hare Krishna is better than anything imaginable. Even if whatever you can imagine as possibly being a source of happiness, chanting Hare Krishna is better than it. Prabhupada proved it by giving them this way of life, and then they gave up all these sinful activities. When the devotees came from America, first to India, Prabhupada brought a group of devotees in about 1970. So many people, they said, well, this, you know, we saw Western hippies in India before, and there's another group of hippies, the fashions. So they thought, well, this is just another fashion. Now they're pretending to be Hindus. But you can't be a Hindu, you have to be born a Hindu. So maybe in another life you can become a Hindu. You can't be a Hindu now. So they thought it's another fashion. They're chanting Hare Krishna, that's nice, but it's not going to last. Many people thought. But now, you see, chanting Hare Krishna in 1970, and here we are in 1998 and still chanting Hare Krishna. You may have gone through so many fashions before that, but then when you actually find the best thing, you stay with it. So because they're actually getting something substantial. So it's the same thing all over the world. Krishna consciousness is not meant for Hindus. It's not just meant for, you see, even the first devotees in America, they didn't know about Krishna consciousness in India. They thought that the Krishna consciousness, they were surprised when Prabhupada went to San Francisco. They thought Krishna consciousness is meant for New York hippies only. How can it go anywhere else? And then in the first days of the movement, mostly young people joining, so they thought it's for young people only. But now we see all over the world, young people, old people, from all different kinds of cultural backgrounds, educated, uneducated. It's going to everyone, because Krishna consciousness is universal. Everyone in this material world is suffering, but everyone in this material world has the constitutional position to be the servant of Krishna, so anyone and everyone can take to it. There are so many wonderful devotees of Krishna all over the world by Prabhupada's mercy. All kinds of, you never believe, you see, you'll find in Russia there's one babushka, there's a Russian devotee from Uzbekistan, they know this one, grandmother. So she's like 65 years old. She only speaks some language called Bishkek, which is spoken in some...
Kyrgyzstan.
No, not Kyrgyzstan. It's on the border of it's the Ural mountain area on the border with Kazakhstan. That's the only language she speaks, and she just lived in a village in Russia all her life. And from Muslim background. And she's chanting Hare Krishna. And even she doesn't understand Russian properly. But she came into the city and she's distributing books door to door in the apartments, because she's saying, look, I'm 65 years old, I wasted all my life. I have to do something for Krishna before I die. Even in the cold in the winter, cold means really cold. When it gets cold in Russia, it's cold. But she's doing that, and people are surprised. They think, oh, they're amazed. How is it, you see, old lady like this, they're very, she goes in a sari. So they're very surprised. Naturally, they have faith that here's someone. And what she's going, what is she? She's not doing it out of some fad or fashion. So people become very convinced. Like this, there's so many wonderful devotees of Krishna all over the world. Every person who comes to Krishna consciousness Actually, you can see the hand of Krishna is there. Krishna is guiding. Ishvara sarva bhutanam vridesha arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rutani maya. Everyone is wandering in this material world, but Krishna is watching everybody. And those who are more sincere or more developed or more fortunate, whatever the reason may be, causeless mercy, they come in contact with Krishna's devotees, Bhavanda Bhamitin Kano Bhagyavanji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One is very fortunate. That means it's not arbitrary good fortune. That means they perform some pious activities of Krishna consciousness in a previous life. They get the chance to come in contact with Krishna's devotees. So Krishna's in everyone's heart and he sees someone is some inclination towards Krishna consciousness. So by Krishna's grace, you get Guru who gives you the seed of devotional service. And then by Guru's grace, you get Krishna. Krishna arranges for you to get Guru and Guru arranges for you to get Krishna. So in this way, the devotees, everyone, how they come to this Krishna consciousness, Krishna is guiding. You see everyone's life who comes to Krishna consciousness, how they go through so many different situations and so many changes and then they find, yes, this is actually what I was looking for. I didn't know all my life. I was doing this and I was doing that and I had no idea. But now I've come to Krishna consciousness, I can understand that actually this is what my life was meant for. Actually that's a fact. And Krishna is looking for his devotees. Even the devotees, they may not be looking for Krishna. They may be, you see, whoever's devotee, we're coming in this world. We've forgotten we're devotees of Krishna. We're all meant for serving Krishna, but we forgot it. So we're supposed to be looking for Krishna, but Krishna's looking for us. Where is my devotee? Why is he rotting in this material world? Why is he absorbed in sense gratification? There are so many stories. That Bilba Mangal Thakur, in his previous life, he was a very advanced devotee. But somehow in his heart, there were some very strong material desires simultaneously. So in his next life, he was born in a Brahmin family, but he was very attached to yet some girlfriend. He was very attached, so much attached to her that even when his father died, he was telling the priest, hurry up, finish the ceremonies. I have to go and see my girlfriend. He's so much attached. So then there was that night he was going, there was a great storm. He had to cross the river to visit his girlfriend. There was a great storm and the river was flooding. So he's thinking, how can I get across the river? And he saw some dead body floating down the river. So he caught a hold of that and used that to help him go across. Then the compound gate was closed because girlfriend thought, well, he's not going to come tonight in this storm. So he thought, how can I get over? And he saw that out of the tree there's hanging down some branch. Wait a minute, it's not a branch, it's a snake. Anyway, catch a hold of the snake and climb over the wall. And he jumped over the wall, nearly broke his neck and knocked at the door. His Chintamani, the girlfriend said, well, what are you doing here? And how did you get here? So he explained, well, crossed over the river. How do you cross over the river? How did you come over the wall? She was astonished. She said, oh, if you had this much attachment for Krishna as you have for this bag of bones and blood, then what an advanced devotee he would be. I really thought, Krishna. Because in his previous life, he was a great devotee of Krishna. So the memory came back that it was just like being struck by lightning. That, oh, Krishna, what am I doing? I wasted my time just running after this sense gratification, but I meant for serving Krishna. So immediately he gave up all his plans for sense gratification and decided to go. I have to find Krishna. Where can I find Krishna? In Vrindavan. Let me go to Vrindavan. So that there's so many people who are wandering in this material world, forgetting devotees. It means anyone who comes to devotional service means in a previous life, they also perform some devotional service, but due to being wrapped up in this, in Maya, they become attached to one and forget Krishna. But then Krishna arranges, Krishna very kindly arranges that we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, and then, oh, now, yes, this is the meaning of my life. And then when we come to Krishna consciousness and we think about everything we were doing previous to that, it just seems, just like when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you have a dream, and then you forget it and it seems meaningless. Once in a dream you were flying in an airplane or so many different things, but then you wake up in the morning, you realize it was just a dream, it had no meaning. So similarly, after we come to Krishna consciousness, when we think about all the activities, what we were doing, what we were thinking, how we were absorbed in so many activities without Krishna consciousness, then it just seems like it's just like a meaningless dream. And actually that's a fact. It's just like a dream. A dream at night is meaningless. And then when you wake up in the day and you do so many activities, if they're not in relationship with Krishna, it's also meaningless. The only difference is that the dream at night, that's just for a short time. And the dream in the day, that goes on for a whole lifetime if you don't remember Krishna. But it's no more meaningful without Krishna consciousness. So a devotee is very grateful to get the chance to remember Krishna by the grace of Krishna and his devotees. He becomes absorbed in this, understanding this is the reality. Krishna is the reality, and everything else is all other discussions of how to be happy in this material world. They're all meaningless. Because there's no meaning. Whatever you do, there's no meaning. The only reality is Krishna. So a devotee lives in this world, and he goes along with the social conventions of this world. But his only goal is to remember Krishna and satisfy Krishna. And this way he lives in this world very happily by remembering Krishna. So this is happiness for a devotee. And his only unhappiness, like Prahlad Maharaj said, was that others, they're suffering without knowledge of Krishna. So let me try to bring others to Krishna. And that becomes a source of even more happiness for a devotee. When a devotee sees that others are taking to Krishna consciousness, this is his greatest happiness. Greatest happiness for a devotee is just to see others come to Krishna. Therefore he tries to help others come to Krishna consciousness. So in this way a devotee lives very happy in this life. And at the end of life, go to Krishna. What could be better than this? What is there in the world to compare to this? There's nothing. Any position in this material world, even Brahma, Indra, is nothing compared to just to the simple happiness of chanting Hare Krishna. Even Brahma himself comes, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, Brahma comes as Haridasa Thakur to chant Hare Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Puri, all the demigods used to come to join in his Sankirtan. They would come dressed as ordinary pilgrims. See, demigod means they're enjoying swarga soup, but they thought, what is this? What is the use of this swarga soup? Let's go to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing band. That is millions of times better than anything. Even the demigods have to enjoy. We're so fortunate. We are in the most miserable situation. Without knowledge of Krishna, life is most useless. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we're so fortunate to have this opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, discuss about Krishna, take Krishna prasada. We're so very, very fortunate. So we should always remember this. How lucky we are to have the chance to chant Hare Krishna. And just like some precious diamond, look after it very carefully. Don't lose it. So look after our Krishna consciousness. Be very careful how we act, what we say, how we don't just let our mind wander here and there. Be very careful to protect this precious jewel of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. if serving Krishna is the only pure devotional service, then why did Krishna create so many gods like Jesus, Allah, Lord Shiva, etc., and their followers? Now, there's a little confusion in this question. When followers of the Islamic faith worship Allah, they're also worshipping Krishna. Krishna's not different. Allah's not different. But it's worshipping Him without the same understanding of those who are following the Vedic culture, Sanatan Dharma, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So that means that the same Krishna consciousness is being expressed in a different way, according to the culture, according to the ability of the people to understand that. Just like in Islam, it is accepted that Allah means the all-powerful, the greatest one. Jesus, now Christians, they say that Jesus is God Himself, but Jesus Himself said that He is the Son of God, or representative of God. So He's like, He's a guru. Same thing, He's teaching about God according to, in a different culture, according to the people's level of realization. So He's a representative of God. Lord Shiva, He is one of the demigods, principal demigod, who is in charge of, especially in charge of those who are fallen into sinful existence, like bhutas, pretas. He's in charge of those in the mode of ignorance. So Krishna has given a chance for them to be elevated by following Him. What is the position of those who are sincerely devoted to other gods and Krishna devoted? The point is that there may be so many different methods of worship according to people's different levels of understanding, but the topmost level of understanding, or the complete level of understanding, is to understand that Krishna is the supreme person, and that worship of Him is the supreme position for us. And that other kinds of worship, they may be steps on the path, but the complete position, or the perfect position of worship, is to worship Krishna with unmotivated devotional service. What is the position of those who are sincerely devoted to other gods and Krishna devotees? Well, Krishna states that those who worship demigods, actually they worship Me, but yajanti aviti purvakam, but in the wrong way. Because worship actually is meant for Krishna. So if you worship a demigod thinking He's supreme, that's a misunderstanding. So it's not the perfect position. Those who worship Krishna, understanding Him as to be the supreme personality of Godhead, they are in the proper position. At the end, another question, at the end of a kalpa, during the time of cosmic devastation, if the whole material creation is going to end, where will the millions and millions of people, the atomic fractions of the Paramatma, go? If they go back to God, how are they deemed to be qualified for that elevation? Now, what happens when the whole cosmic manifestation is wound up? All the jivas in the material world, the conditioned souls, they remain in dormant position within the body of Mahavishnu. They don't become liberated, but they remain in a dormant position. Then again, when the material cosmos is again recreated, then again they come out. Is the process of creation still continuing? Yes, process of creation is still continuing, just like someone has created this. So creation is an ongoing thing. If so, are some of us born with a, I can't read what this says, brand new atomic fraction from the Paramatma? If yes, can they be identified in any way from those who have taken birth for so many? No, the answer is no, so the question doesn't come. The jivas are eternal and not newly not newly created. We are coming from Krishna, we are eternal, we're just like the sun, the atomic fractions of sunlight. They're coming from the sun, but at the same time they're always existing simultaneously with the sun. While preaching, if somebody tells something against Krishna or ISKCON, my voice goes a little up, and others say that I get angry. How would I improve my preaching? Yeah, it's natural. That's good. If you don't become upset when people blaspheme Krishna, then there's something wrong. Just like you can imagine if someone insults your father and mother, if you say, everything's all the same, and jata mat tata pat, oh yeah, okay, that's nice. No. Naturally you become upset. At the same time, we may understand that people are foolish, maybe they heard some bad propaganda, and naturally people's brain is dull because they watch all the TV and nonsense. So you may explain to them that actually it's not like that. Many people have misconceptions due to propaganda by atheistic people. I mean, practically all the time people say things against Krishna because they've heard bad propaganda. Now, if they're insistent and pushing it, and they don't listen to what you say, then you may become more upset. But that also depends upon your ability as a preacher. If you can't present the matter properly according to Shastra and philosophy, if you're not competent to preach, then if you simply get angry and you can't explain the matter, then that's not very good preaching. What you can say is, even if you can't explain the whole philosophical point, you can say that there are many great saintly persons, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, they all accept Krishna. And in the modern age also. So I don't have to listen to what you say, I'd rather listen to what they say. So at least you can say that, if you can't say the whole thing. Some places in ISKCON, we cook macaroni, vermicelli, etc. for prasadam. Is it advisable to use these for prasadam as these are factory processed? It's better to make your own, if you can. Please explain what is Vishnu Maya and seeing everything in relation with Krishna. Maya, Vishnu Maya means there are different kinds of Maya. Yoga Maya is the Maya by which devotees like Mother Yashoda think that Krishna is their small boy. And Mahamaya, the external energy, is the potency of Krishna by which we forget Krishna and we identify with these bodies and try to enjoy material life. Seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Yeah, that's just a matter of sanity, that everything is in relationship with Krishna. So when we hear from Shastra, Guru and Shastra, that everything's in relationship with Krishna, everything is created by Krishna, everything is maintained by Krishna, so everything's in relationship with Krishna. And when we understand that, then we can see everything in relationship with Krishna. Demigods. Saraswati, Santoshima. Santoshima is not a demigod, she's a Bombay actress. Of course, they're considered demigods. They're the great devis of the modern age. Sri Devi. She's a great Devi. Now she's out of date Devi. The real devis, they don't become old and fat. Film Davies, they're a film Davy for some time, then they become political Davies. Jai Lalita. Shiva, Ganapati. How should they be worshipped? Santoshima should not be worshipped under any circumstances, the most foolish thing, if to be worshipped. Or else, how should Krishna devotees consider them? People worship demigods for material gains. Krishna says in Gita that people worship demigods for material gains. So Krishna doesn't recommend this. Hrita jnana means their knowledge is spoiled. Antavattu phalante shamtad bhavat yalpamedasam. They're worshipping the demigods, what for? For some material gain which is temporary. So it's foolish. You see, if you worship demigods, what do you use? You use some deepam, some, may use some coconut or some different items. So if you worship Krishna, it's the same thing. So people think, well, it's all the same. No, there's different result. Because the result of worshipping Krishna is eternal. The worship of demigods, the results you get is not eternal. So in Krishna consciousness, we don't disrespect the demigods. Sometimes people misunderstand. They think we're disrespecting the demigods. But simply we're stating what is the proper position. To state the fact is not disrespecting. To say that the demigods are all subordinate to and servants of Krishna is not disrespecting them. The devotees of Krishna, they respect all the demigods, understanding them to be devotees of Krishna. But they engage their worship in the service of Krishna. Spiritual planets are considered to be in the upper level, and material world, Patal, etc., to be in the lower level. Question, how is level, upper, lower, measurable in space? Well, Patal, you've said, when we say the material world, that's called 14 worlds, Chodha Bhuvan. So Patal among the 14 levels within the Brahmanda, Patal is at the bottom. But beyond, there are so many different Brahmandas. And in each of them there are different planetary systems. Brahmaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Bhuvaloka, Bhuloka, Atala, Sutala, Vitala, all these planets, down to Patal. So these are all the Brahmandas. And there are many Brahmandas, which are all clustered together like foam. That's the material world. And beyond that is the spiritual world. The material world is like some kind of cloud in the spiritual world. How is it measurable in space? It's not measurable. You can't measure. You can't take some telescope or some... You can't measure. By definition, the spiritual world is not measurable by material means. It's not material, so how can you measure it by material means? What is the term seva according to Vaishnava dictionary? That's very good, because everyone is doing seva. But where should we do seva? In which that seva will be perfect. We're all serving someone. We serve our family, we serve our friends, we serve our country. I was just saying this morning, if we don't, especially in the Western countries, people, they give up their family ties and they live alone, but then they keep a cat or a dog or a budgerigar and serve them, because the tendency is there to serve. So, where should we place our service where the best result will come? Just like you see, when you want to get some money, you want to invest it. Where is the best place to invest so you'll get the best return? So where this service propensity, where should we put that where we'll get the best result? We should serve Krishna. You'll get the best result. Most of the Keralites pray to Krishna, but they do not want to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Why? Because they're in Maya. We have to preach to them. We have to preach to them. At least they like to pray to Krishna. They're ahead of most people in the world. Most people of the world don't even want to chant Hare Krishna. If Allah is Krishna, why is it that Muslim invaders had systematically destroyed many Krishna temples? Because they don't understand that Allah is Krishna. Why are they so fanatical and impatient? I don't want to answer this. It's not the correct country to say these kinds of things. I'll answer that privately if you want. You should consider we're living in a Muslim country, so you should be a little careful. Any other questions? It is not that I know of. Is his worship bona fide? Well, ultimately no worship but that of Krishna is bona fide, because it's not jaiva dharma, it's not the religion of the soul. Even if we say that the worship of Lord Shiva and Durga, they're all authorized according to Vedic scripture. So in that sense, they're bona fide. But another, in the truest sense of the term, any worship but that of Krishna is not bona fide, because it doesn't give us the ultimate goal of life. So even if not that I know of, that there is any reference to Ayyappa in the Vedic scriptures. But even if there was, what is the value of that worship? What is the value of worshipping, of any kind of worship except worshipping Krishna? Because any kind of worship you do except the service to Krishna, that is, you only get temporary results. I'm going on vacation to India and I'm from a background where we worship demigod Lord Murga. I'm expecting a few difficulties. That's good, you're expecting some difficulties. You're being realistic, because life is full of difficulties. There are always difficulties, so it's good to expect. What sort of preparation should I make before I go? Well, you should, apart from the material preparations, you should also prepare yourself all the time for difficulties. Prepare yourself for going back to Godhead by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is the best preparation. Difficulties will be there, I can guarantee. Doesn't matter who you are or whatever preparations you make, there will always be, even if you make the best preparations, there will always be difficulties, because that is the nature of the material world. And that is a kind of illusion. People think I will worship different demigods, and they will, by that, they will remove all the difficulties. Just like people worship Ganesh, Vigna Vinasha. He's supposed to destroy difficulties. But there's no one. Even you worship Ganesh, inside out, upside down, you're going to have difficulties. You can't avoid. That is the very nature of this material world. So understanding the nature of this material world, chant Hare Krishna, do what you can within reason to overcome these difficulties. Just like if it's raining outside, bring an umbrella. That makes sense. But don't try to make some research to alter the whole meteorological system of the universe. Do what you can within reason. And chant Hare Krishna. Get out of this material world. Then you won't have any more difficulties. But if you stay in this material world, you're always going to have difficulties. Guaranteed. Because it's dukkhalaya, place of miseries.
It's mainly for the relatives.
The relatives won't like you. Well, that's normal. When you start to chant Hare Krishna, generally the relatives will become upset. That's quite usual. It's not unusual. So you have to see what to do in the circumstances. If they're not willing to listen to what you say, then the best thing is not to argue too much. But like Mahatma Gandhi, that non-violent non-cooperation. Don't do what they say and don't fight with them. I'm just saying generally. That's generally the best policy. So chant Hare Krishna.
As there are many senior preachers I see around this particular room here, as you have spent so much time with us in Ramadesh,
it's very important to expand, but at the same time remain very personal. Now one person can't look after everybody, so therefore those who are, you know the whole thing, but when those who are more senior, that those who were some time ago, those who were new, now they're not new now, so they should also help those who are newly coming. So these kind of systems should be put in place. So please chant Hare Krishna and dance. I'm not going to dance. I'm out of action,